Thank you very much, Ronnie. Let's come to Genesis chapter 21 this morning. Genesis chapter 21, please. I've already put it on the church notice a few times. I'm going to look at a weeping woman this morning. I believe the Lord would have me to share this with you. Although this is a study of Isaac, Isaac really doesn't get a mention this morning at all. He doesn't get a look in. We'll be concentrating more on Hagar and Ishmael, but I trust it'll be profitable, beneficial, and to help you all who are gathered this morning. Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to read from verse 14. Some of you will remember when we last were in our study in Isaac that really Hagar had to go. And Abraham was reluctant, but God said to Abraham, send the bondwoman away. And there was good reason for that. Because Ishmael had been persecuting Isaac. Through Isaac would come Christ. And it could well be that Ishmael had in his mind someday that Isaac would be executed, removed, killed. And therefore, to protect the line of Christ, God steps in and God says, yes, send the bondwoman away. And so that's really where we are this morning. And we come to verse 14 in Genesis chapter 21. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. We're going to finish there at verse number 20. And of course, as ever, we look to the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. As I say this morning, we're really not going to look so much at Isaac, more at Hagar, and more at Ishmael. But you see, the truth is, when we come to the word of God, we're told that none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. You and I don't live in an island. We don't live on our own. What you do affects other people. How you live spiritually affects those who live with you. How you live spiritually in a negative sense, if you don't trust the Lord, if you don't follow the Lord, if you don't have that testimony in the home, well, that too affects those who are around you. And so what happened to Isaac and what happened to Abraham and Sarah affects Ishmael and Hagar as well. You remember, as I said, that Hagar, son Ishmael, had been mocking. We see that in verse number 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. She had been mocking Isaac, and so the bondwoman had to go. Verse number 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But I want to think about Hagar, because God cared about Hagar. Yes, I know the providence of God. I understand why this had to happen. But awful things were happening to Hagar. And God stepped in and God helped her. And God cared for her. Let me think of her treatment first of all this morning. Flick back to Genesis chapter 16. I promise you I'll not be long this morning. Genesis chapter 16. But this is not the first time that Hagar found difficult times. Go back to chapter 16. She has just conceived, and she's pregnant. Look at Genesis 16, verse 4. You know how it was coming about. You remember how God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but Sarah thought, well, we're both too old to have a child, and we'll try and help God keep his promises. And so that's where Hagar came in, and Sarah said, you take Hagar, have a child to Hagar, and this child will be the one that is the promised child. And of course, that wasn't true. That was never God's way at all. But anyway, they do it, and Hagar conceives. Look at Genesis 16, verse 4. And he, that is Abraham, went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. She began to to despise Sarah. It was as if she was sort of mocking Sarah because she was pregnant, and Sarah was, as far as the normal situation was concerned, she was beyond childbearing. Verse 16. But Abraham said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And Sarah, of course, gave as good as she got. And so you have these two women living in a house, and they're at each other. And of course, Abraham is going to back Sarah, and so Hagar feels there's nothing to do but to run away. Here's a pregnant woman, and she's running away. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. That word Shur means a wall. Her back's up against the wall here. She's pregnant. She hasn't a friend in the world. She's an Egyptian. She has no one to help her. She has no one to care. She has no family. She's all alone in a big world. And you can imagine the state that she's in. And she feels she can do nothing, only run away. She is at her wit's end. But let me say some things very quickly about Genesis 16 this morning. The Lord located her. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord is a name for Christ. Now, I'm not going to go into it this morning. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of the water. The Lord knew exactly where she was. And maybe you're watching from home this morning and you're in an awful situation. And people don't know the half of it. Maybe even in our meeting this morning. And the people don't know the half of it. And you think in your mind, nobody knows where I am. The Lord knows where you are. And the Lord found her. The Lord located her. Look at verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence came thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. Do you notice the first word? Hagar, just to hear your name. The Lord knew where she was. The Lord knew who she was. And the Lord questions her. Why does he question her? Because he cares. She thought, nobody knows where I am. He found her. Nobody cares what I'm going through. The Lord cares. And the Lord questions her. Sometimes people can question you, and they're so nosy. So nosy. But that would never be said of our Savior. He genuinely is interested in how you are. And he really cares about you this morning. The Lord located her. The Lord questioned her. Look at verse 9, Genesis 16. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself into her hands. You see the Lord directing her here. The Lord located her. The Lord questioned her. And the Lord directed her. I wonder, has God got a word for you this morning? God knows where you are. Knows what you're going through. Knows exactly the burden that you have this morning. And the Lord maybe has a word for you this morning. Look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Not only did the Lord locate her and question her and direct her, but he listened to her. The Lord heard her. I don't know whether she prayed or whether she was just crying from a broken heart, but God heard it. And you can see what this dear lady has gone through already. The psalmist said, Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But now we're coming back into Genesis 21, verse 14. You would think she has been through enough. Imagine a pregnant woman feeling she had to leave home. Not a friend in the world. Nobody to look after her. Nobody to care. She got so low, she thought the only way was to go into the wilderness. Maybe she says, I'm just going to go into the wilderness and die. Did you ever feel like that? Possibly you have. And God's saying to you this morning, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. And I'm listening to you. And I've got a word for you this morning. And the Lord directed her back into the safe place at that time. Now, when we come to verse 14, you would think, surely Hagar's been through enough. But it never rains, but it pours, we often say. And here is another problem. It's a bit like what we went through. You have one lockdown and you're out and you're in again and you're out and you're in and you're up and you're down. And society's gone through a rough time. But even individually, some have been through an awful time. And here's something that we should Note, in all that Hagar went through, it was Abraham who brought her out of Egypt. It was Sarah's idea that she would have a child with her husband. Abraham, of course, was complicit. She felt in Genesis 16 she had to run away. Here in Genesis 21, she has been thrown out. It was God's people. It was God's people that blighted her. It was God's people that bashed her. It was God's people that betrayed her. Know what the Lord Jesus said in Psalm 55? For it was not an enemy that reproached me. And this is speaking prophetically of Judas Iscariot. Then I could have borne it. David, of course, had the same experience with Ahithophel. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Do you know what David was saying? Hagar could have said the same thing. It was God's people that treated me despicably. And maybe you know something about that this morning. Maybe you know what it is to be kicked by the people of God. And I would say from past experience, in some ways that's the worst pain of all. When those you expect better from. You see Hagar's treatment here. I want you to see where she is. She's basically been thrown out here. Now I understand the providence of God, but just think about Hagar for a moment. And put yourself in her shoes this morning. Now look at the trial. Look at verse 14. And Abraham, we're in Genesis 21. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. You see the supplies here. Abraham was a very wealthy man. But all he gives her is some bread and a bottle of water. Doesn't it look very miserable? Now perhaps God told him to do that. But what Abraham does here, he makes God look bad. He makes the people of God look bad. Because to send out this woman and to give her just bread and a bottle of water. Now, as I say, maybe God designed it this way. Maybe God said, this is what you have to do. I want Hagar to realize she can't depend on her own resources and she has to depend on me. And maybe that is part of it. But sometimes, you know, God's people can make God look bad. That's what the devil tried to do with Adam and Eve. Hath God said? He wanted to make God look bad. God knows in the day that thou eatest thereof, you're going to be as gods. God's holding out on you. The devil wants to make God look bad. Dear child of God, don't give him any help. There's nothing like a lousy testimony in a child of God to make God look bad. I hope in the workplace God doesn't look bad because of you. I hope in the neighborhood God doesn't look bad because of you. If that's a Christian, you know what to say. I hope you don't give God a bad name and give the Lord a bad name. You can see the supplies here. There's nothing really. She's just given a bottle of water and some bread. Look at the surroundings in verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. As Hagar comes into this wilderness, she looks around. What a dire situation to be in. At least in chapter 16, she was by a fountain of water in the wilderness. But here there's absolutely nothing. What a hopeless, pitiful case she is. And she thought in chapter 16 things were bad, and now things are worse. And maybe you thought, I'm over the worst of it. And yet you've been hit between the eyes again. And it just seems to never be ending. And I know I'm talking about a lady here this morning, but of course it applies to men and indeed to young people this morning as well. What a place for her to find herself in. She's just in a wilderness. And then look at her son. In verse 14 and 15 again. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child. She didn't put this child on her shoulder because he's about 16 or 17, but he's with her at this stage and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle. Now the water has run out. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. This water had run out. Tell me, has hope run out for you? Has patience run out for you? Has God asked you to be patient? Is your patience running out? Has hope run out? Has faith run out? Because this is where Hagar is. Everything. She's running out of everything. She's running out of hope. Look what she does with her son in verse 16. She went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. I'm told that's about 1,000 feet. For she said, let me not see the death of a child. And she sat over against him, lift up her voice and wept. It was sort of out of sight, out of mind, but she couldn't bear to watch her child die. She couldn't bear to watch it. I was just meditating on this morning, and the Lord spoke to me. And I'm going to say what he said to me this morning. Dear mommy, maybe at home, maybe here this morning, have you given up on him? Have you given up on a wayward son? Have you set him to the one side and said, he's finished? There's no hope for him. Maybe a wayward daughter, you've set them aside and said, there's nothing anybody can do with them. They've behaved so badly. They've carried on so despicably. And they've got into the world and they've got in the wrong company and they've done things that they never should have done. And they've brought shame to the family. And you want to put them under a bush and let them die because you've given up on them. Hagar had given up on the child. Tell me, have you given up? Hagar said, there's nothing anyone can do. But isn't it true? I found this during lockdown. I wasn't really concerned about myself. But you do care about your children. What's it doing to their education? What's it doing to their building friendships? What's it doing to them socially, spiritually, physically, in so many ways? And it's hard to watch your children and be hopeless and not able to do something for them. And maybe you know exactly what Hagar is going through this morning. She's at her wit's end. She's run out of patience. She's run out of hope. And fear has come in and faith has gone out. And maybe that's just exactly where you are this morning. Here's a broken-hearted lady in the wilderness with not a friend in the world. She has nothing to drink. And she's just waiting for the son to die. And no doubt she expected to die very soon. You see her treatment. You see the trial. And then you see the tears. Look at verse 16. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And here's one of the weeping women in Scripture. Never be ashamed of tears. Never be ashamed to shed a tear. God has given us the ability to love, and because we have the ability to love, we have the ability to shed tears. Never be ashamed of tears. And this dear lady, she's just sitting down, and all she can do is weep. You know, we have many weeping women in Scripture. Esther was a weeping woman in Esther 8, verse 3. Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears. I haven't time this morning to go into the background of Esther, but many of you will know it. Haman says, I'm going to kill all the Jews. Esther happened to be in a privileged place and she was going to go into the king. And going into the king, she was risking her life. But she says, if I perish, I perish. And here she is in the presence of the king and she's weeping. And she's weeping for life. Tell me, have you wept over someone who doesn't have eternal life? Because they're on their way to hell? Have you wept over someone and you see life just ebbing away and you know the days are drawing to close? It's not easy. Esther was a weeping woman because of life. Hannah was a weeping woman in Scripture. She had a longing. She wanted to have a child. It says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Did you ever weep until it hurt? Hannah wept sore. And of course, Peninnah, who lived in the same house, she mocked her and she persecuted her. And you see, Hannah had a longing for a child and this other woman was mocking her. And you see, when something doesn't work out the way you want it to work out, very often the devil will say, God doesn't care much for you. God's not interested in your well-being. Look at her. And look at you. Does God really love you? Does God really care? What does Hannah do? She weeps.
because she's got a longing in her heart. Esther wept, Hannah wept, Mary Magdalene wept, you remember, at the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Remember, she was weeping because they've taken away the Lord. And all hope had gone. She'd put everything into Christ, and Christ is gone. And she's got no hope and no life and nothing now. And that's what it would be to stand in the grave. If Christ never had come, if Christ hadn't died, if Christ hadn't risen again, we would stand at graves, brokenhearted with no hope. And that's how Mary felt, and the tears are tripping her eyes. She has given up. There's no hope. There's no life after death. There's nothing. Have you ever stood at a grave and wept? I think most of us of an age by now have. We know what it is to weep at a grave. And Mary Magdalene is weeping at the grave. And of course, she couldn't even see Christ through the tears. She thought he was a gardener. And the Lord said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou have taken him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She can't just get it. Her faith is weak. Her eyes are dim. The tears are tripping her. And she can't make sense of anything at all. Then the Lord turns around and he says, "Mary, Mary, what a difference. What a difference." And maybe God's speaking to someone at home this morning. You're just like Hagar this morning. You've given up. They have let you down a bagful. You've given up on the sun. You've given up on everything. And you just can't see the end of it at all. And life seems to be running out. Hope has run out. Patience has run out. Faith has run out. And fear has come in. And the Lord's just looking to say to you this morning, "Mary. Mary." And what a difference it made to these women. You see, all of these weeping women all found help in the Lord. And I would say, dear sister, this morning, you're not weeping in vain. Just like Hagar, the Lord knows where you are. And the Lord's listening this morning. And if I could say that Esther wept because of life and Hannah because of longing and Mary Magdalene because of loss, I would say Hagar wept because of lowliness here. There's a wonderful verse, and I've shared it many times with people, in Isaiah 38 verse 5. Here's what the Lord said. "I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears." And is there a weeping woman here this morning? I know this weeping woman at home. I even got messages this morning. And the Lord says, "I have seen the tears. I have heard the prayer." You see the treatment here. We want to move on quickly. You see the trial, what Hagar's going through. You see the tears. Here's something I've called tremendous. Look at verse 17. You see the first two words of verse 17. "And God." And God. What a difference when God moves in. What a difference when we bring the Lord into the situation. "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." And again in verse 19, "And God opened her eyes." And God, and God. Dear sister this morning, or brother this morning, young person this morning, have you forgotten about God? God hasn't forgotten about you. And God. And like all of the weeping women, Hagar's about to realize that the Lord hasn't given up on her. He's listening. Look at verse 17. "God heard the voice of the lad." Mommy and daddy, encourage your children to pray. There's something about a child's prayers. God heard the voice of the lad. But I know that when there's sin, God doesn't hear us. But there's something about children and the prayers of children. Teach your children to pray. Encourage them to pray. It's not a waste of time. It's not just going through a rigmarole. God heard the prayers of the lad. And God was listening. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. You see the listening. You see the inquiring again. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God, I believe again, this is the Lord, called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Do you see he's interested? He's inquiring again. He says to Hagar, what's wrong with you? Nobody's interested. Nobody cares. God cares. God's interested. Will you tell him this morning? And tell him it all. Tell him everything. Don't hold back. Just between you and the Lord. Tell him the whole lot. Paint it, warts and all. Tell him your faults, your failings. Tell him where you think you've gone wrong. Tell him about the problem. Tell him about the tears. Tell him everything. What aileth thee? God's asking this morning. We have not because we ask not, James says. And God is listening. God is inquiring, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And God is speaking. Look at verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, God spoke to her. What did he say to her in verse 17? Fear not. Fear not. Are you sitting this morning shaking in your boots? And God's coming to you very close and very personally. He says, fear not. You know the most amazing thing in verse 17? Let me read it again. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. Catch those last three words, where he is. Where he is. Is God asking you to trust him just where you are? It's easy to trust God when you got the job you wanted. It's easy to trust God when things in married life are going well. When everybody's healthy, when the bank account's strong, it's easy to trust God. And God says, will you trust me where you are this morning? Don't wait until things get better. Don't wait until you think you're on top of it and then trust God. Will you trust God just where you are? God found this young man where he was, about to die under a bush, with a mommy nothing to give him. She couldn't even hug him. She couldn't bear to look at him. She had given up on him. And she knew that soon he would die. And she would die. And God says, listen, fear not. I know where you are. Trust me where he is. Just now trust him. Talked about fear. Talked about faith. Talked about the future. Look at verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad. Hold him in thy hand, for I will make of him a great nation. God says, I'm not finished with that boy. And I'm not finished with you. Hagar had given up, but God hadn't given up. And let me say this morning, God hasn't given up on you. God hasn't given up on your family. God hasn't given up on him or her. God's not about to put them under a bush and let them die. God's saying to you this morning, fear not. You see something tremendous here. And God. God was listening. God was inquiring. God was saying. And then God's opening. Look at verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. Just what she needed. It was there all along. She couldn't see it. Her eyes were dim. Maybe couldn't see it through tears. All she could see was darkness and difficulty and danger and depression. And she had just gone away to die. And God stepped in and God opened her eyes. There's a well. There's all we need. And it's right here beside us. And God has the answer for you. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? God opened their eyes. Do you remember the blind man in John 9? God opened his eyes. What a difference it makes when God opens our eyes. Do you remember the story of Elisha and the young servant? You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria says, we need to stop this man, Elisha. And so all the available troops were sent. And Elisha was there with the young servant. And the young servant looks out and he can see nothing, only the enemy all over the place. And he says, alas, master, what shall we do? Or how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're beat. We're stopped. We've had it. Just like Hagar. There's no hope here. And here's what Elisha said. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they would be with them. How can you make sense of that? There's just Elisha and this servant, and there's a whole army against them. How can we outnumber the enemy? Do you remember what Elisha prayed? And Elisha prayed and said, 2 Kings 6, verse 17, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw the host of heaven. He saw the armies of heaven. It's like Paul when he said this, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they would be with them. You know, that's that what that quote of God before us comes from Romans chapter 8. You know, there's a number of rhetorical questions there. And if you ask God to open your eyes and get the Bible and open it, Romans chapter 8, and begin at verse 31, and here's what God says. If God be for us, who can be against us? Open your eyes and see it. He said this, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Is there something you need? Is there something you're lacking? Do you think God's going to shortchange you? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one can touch your salvation. The very devil of hell cannot take away your salvation. Who is he that condemneth? It doesn't matter what the word says. It doesn't matter with all the false accusations. It doesn't matter if the fingers are pointing at you. Who can condemn a child of God that he has saved? But here's my favorite. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? These are all rhetorical questions which demand a no answer. Nobody can. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, weeping woman this morning. There's nothing that has happened to you that will stop God loving you. Don't give up. Don't let it beat you. Don't be weighed down under the burden of it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm praying that God will open my eyes and open your eyes and we'll see the great God we have. The great resources we have. The great love that he has for you and he has for me. There was a church in Newton Orange. This is a number of years ago. I'm not going to mention the church, but the pastor was preaching one Sunday and he said from the pulpit, see if you get into trouble, don't be coming to me. Don't be coming to me. There was a family in the meeting that day and their young son, he got involved in joyriding, involved in paramilitaries, broke his mum and dad's heart, but they felt they could never go to the pastor. Because he said, don't come to me. Whatever it is, wherever it happens, let me say, my door's always open to you. But let me tell you something better. The Lord's arms are always open for you. The Father didn't give up on the prodigal. Don't you give up on them. Don't you dare give up on them. You keep looking to the Lord this morning. Look at verse 19. We're nearly finished. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. She saw what she needed and God abundantly met her need. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. You see the treatment of this woman. You see the trial. One thing after another. You see the tears. And then there was something tremendous, and God. And God. God came into the situation, and God made all the difference in the world. Psalm 56 verse 8, Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? This is mind-blowing, isn't it? Every time you shed a tear, God takes a note. God has a record of it. God cares about what you're going through. You know, Hagar forgot about the promises of God, didn't she? In Genesis 16 verse 10, God says, I will multiply thy seed. In order to multiply the seed, Ishmael wasn't going to die. But she wasn't leaning on the promises. She had let go of the promises. She had given up. She had ran out. And what a well of promises they are. Verse 19 says there's a well. There's salvation for the lost. There's hope for the hopeless. There's power for the weak. There's joy for the brokenhearted. There's peace for the troubled. There's provision for the needy. There's forgiveness for the falling. There's restoration for those who are broken. And the well is full. God says, open your eyes that you might see what he can do for you. There was one other weeping woman in Scripture. I didn't mention her this morning. She's found in Luke 7 verse 44. It's a story when the Lord went to the house of Simon the Pharisee. And these old Pharisees, they mocked the Lord. And this woman came in and they said, if you knew what that woman was like, you would have nothing to do with her. And then the Lord rebukes him. He said, she has washed my feet with tears. Do you know why she washed his feet with tears? Because she loved the Lord. And I'm praying that those tears that have been tripping you this last while, and maybe for some time, I'm praying that they will turn to tears of love for the Savior. When you reflect again how much he really loves you and how much he cares for you. God hasn't given up on you, and God hasn't given up on your son or your daughter. Don't give up on God. Will you open your eyes and get a fresh glimpse of him this morning? Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. And Lord, when we preach to a congregation like this, and Lord, for those who are tuning in, we realize, Lord, among such a number, there are always broken hearts. There are tearful hearts. And Lord, it sometimes appears that nobody knows and no one cares. But Lord, at least this morning, if we take nothing else, may every child of God take this home that Jesus Christ cares. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Lord, will you open our eyes that we might see what God can do for us. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray.